This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Oops. What if I started the episode like that? Oops. This is a bumper. Hi from the future and also past. It's me. I forgot to say something in this episode that you're gonna want to know because it's important for us all. I hope everyone's doing okay. It's that Chris Fleming is going to be on the next couple of episodes. Are you ready? As a temporary co-host. Actually, Marissa, no, don't put it in. I think it's better if I sing it. Yeah. Are you excited? I hope you're excited. It's chaotic. I'm going to be honest with you. Chris is an agent of chaos. He thrives on it. He's chaotic good. But it is chaos, and I hope that you like it as much as I liked making it. Let's get on with the show.
It's time for Punch the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Is that casual?
No.
Should I try it again?
No, okay. You can't just open cackling by yourself.
Okay, I'll try it again. Hi.
Cackling at the sky.
Okay. Calm down. Hey. Welcome to the quarantine sessions. Is that what I should call this? Welcome to the quarantine sessions of Punch Up the Jam, the podcast where I, Emil Brado, try to make the greatest hits even greater every Thursday.
That's really interesting that you're calling it the quarantine sessions when you've been emailing me about how you believe that this is all like a big liberal hoax set up. That's so interesting that you say I'm gonna keep living my life. I'm gonna go to the casinos. I'm gonna visit my elderly friends, and I'm like, hey, Marielle, can we back it up?
Whoa, okay, that's not public knowledge, Chris. I need to introduce you properly. You know him as Chris Fleming.
Hi.
I think that was a really good intro and I absolutely nailed it. Thank you so much for coming back on the pod so quickly after you just made your pod debut. How does it feel?
Really good.
Can you give me a quick, I mean, me and the audience, of course, just a quick little scoop on why the fuck you're here again?
Like I said, you've been threatening to release my medical records and and texting me very late via Skype. Even though I don't have the app.
Okay, that's enough. Thank you so much.
Is Mike on the line?
No, you know that. We can't talk about Mike on air without Mike being here. He'll fucking literally have an aneurysm. Engineer Mike cannot handle. I would like to take a quick pause.
Do you know that Mike's body can predict the weather?
Okay, no one knows what we're talking about.
I saw Mike in my attic recently. Did I tell you about that? He was building some kind of a craft. He was building. I was like, Mike, Chris, that's not seaworthy. And he was like, you think I'm going latitude? I think he's trying to go to space, Mel.
I'm trying to explain who the fuck Mike is because no one knows what you're talking about.
Okay, I thought we were
saying. No one knows who Mike is. Mike is the engineer of this podcast here in New York who's not on the line because we're both at home as we just described. However, you did go to college with him.
I'm not at home. I'm out living my life. I'm not afraid. I'm out. I'm seeing nursing home. I'm going bumper boating. I'm bumper bowling. I am not changing shit.
Okay, I need you to stop talking about that. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. What I need for you to do is talk to me about your relationship with Savage Gardens. I want you.
So I somehow acquire a Brandy CD, right? When I'm like super young.
The one with Angel of Mine on it? That's Monica.
Right. Let me see. I don't remember. Because I like hunkered down and I really tried. I tried so hard to get into it, but I felt nothing. It just bounced right off my mushroom cut, right? Just like rain on a tin roof. I was unaffected. Then like a year goes by or whatever, maybe 2 years. And I honestly at that point feel like music is just not for me. I'm like, oh, like it's like something that you tolerate, but you don't enjoy, right? And then I Want You by Savage Garden comes on somewhere. Right?
1997, yeah. So you're 10 years old.
I'm roaming. I was just out of my first marriage and I was like roaming around. I was in probably fourth grade and I hear this, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Turn that up, Goodman. Turn that up, Goodman. Excuse myself. Baker Jordan, could you please turn that up a little bit? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, this is what I've been waiting for. It was the first song I ever liked.
I can't get over that you didn't like any songs until you were 10 years old. It's like not like any song at all. No Disney song, Christmas song, no song.
Are you sure it was
97?
No, okay, like, yeah, I would have a good time crooning Little Drummer Boy, but I didn't feel, you know, it may have been almost like, there's something very sexy about this song, you know?
This song is so hot. It's honestly dangerous to be listening to during quarantine.
You know what I think it is? I think it's that he's quiet, you know, and I think that's what it is. Also, it's, can I just say something real quick? I know that you're probably going to debunk this, but I need you to not, because my whole reality will topple. And this is based just on a hunch. I've done no research. I know that
Yeah.
If you tell me that they're not Australian, then everything...
No, they are.
Okay. Good. Okay, thank God.
I have a couple things to tell you. Of course, we're talking about Savage Garden. Doesn't that sound like such a modern name? That garden is fucking savage, bro. They are from Australia. In Australia, this is really good. Australia, it was released in 1996. One more time, Australia. Thank you so much. You can subscribe to the Patreon for more of that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Clapping works really well on podcasts. You should do it again. They didn't release... Okay. Are you wearing, like... I hear bangles. Are you wearing some beaded bangles?
I was just
swinging. Have you taken into rosary culture?
I have shoulder tassels on. That's what those were. Yeah. Right on my parrot holders.
They didn't release until 97 in America. It peaked at number 4 on the Hot 100, which is higher than I thought it got. I feel like the song everyone knows by Savage Garden is Truly Madly Deeply, which, don't get me wrong, slaps, but not in the same way.
That's a slow dance.
That's a slow dance. And also, I feel like it was kind of like, if you listened to it now, it wouldn't hold up for any reason other than nostalgia.
How dare you? How dare you say this to me?
You don't feel that way?
Oh my God, no, it absolutely holds up.
But hang on, if you had never heard it before.
My parents renewed their vows to that song. They slowed it down.
I was conceived to that song. Singer's name is Darren Hayes.
I think I found so hot about him and still find so hot until I watched the video, and then he like...
Which video is the question? There's two.
I believe this music video is the one where he's getting like a glaucoma test in a Home Depot. That one.
Exactly correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Clockwork Orange, but spooky.
Yes. But there's something like about the tone of his voice. It's like he's quiet.
Okay. So I need to tell you that this song...
Okay.
Is a coded gay love song.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. So
you decoded it?
I went full Da Vinci Code on this. I got all my cipher. I figured this out.
Oh, is that what you were writing all over your walls in permanent marker?
Did you see that? This isn't video.
When you audio Skype me, it was just so loud what you were scrawling. You were carving it.
No, he said it. He was asked if this song had a coded gay message, and he said it's about being in love with a male energy. And then I don't know if he came out or what, but anyway, yeah, eventually it became clear. This is like, I'm interested to try to read the subtext here because I did not pick up on that. But also, I can't understand anything he says in this song other than Chicky Cherry Cola, which is not what he says.
I think it's Chicky Cherry Cola, but yeah, I mean, it's not really about what he says. That's the thing. It's like when he's talking, it's like, he's like one of those guys. It's like, are you talking to me, my guy? Like, oh. It's like he's got AirPods in, you know, and he's like sitting in. He's definitely not even standing up recording these vocals. That's something that I find really. He's just sitting down in a butterfly sanctuary is what it sounds like to me.
I have two more notes. The song, I guess this is like a really big deal. I personally am not very familiar with anime culture, but I guess there's an anime called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth part of this anime called Diamond is Unbreakable came out in 2016. And the end credit music, they used this song. So virtually any person under 25 who knows this song probably knows it from that anime. And in fact, if you go to the YouTube video for this music video, every single comment is about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Also, they use it, I think, if you've had a couple glasses of white Zinfandel, you know, in Super Mario, when he like in the underwater level, when that eel messes him up for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that it plays then, too. you know,
as you're sinking to the bottom, dying. I want you, I don't know if I... Okay, here's something I'm excited to tell you, alerted to me by patron Reed Jacobs. He said to me,
Reed Jacobs,
the famous Reed Jacobs. To me, it's a slight knockoff of Roxette's The Look, which is a song we have covered on this podcast. Do you know this song?
No. Would you mind singing it? Perfect pitch.
I'm just going to play for you. It's pretty similar. The vibe, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely understand tonally what that is. Very, very similar. And it's very, I find that to be very sexy as well.
It is very sexy. A lot of people commented they thought that Roxette had a new song. I said a lot of people. That was a blatant lie. One person commented they thought that Roxette had a new song.
Thank you for your honesty.
That's all I had to say about the song. Now I finally can be released from my script and play the song. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely ready. Yeah.
This is where things are going to get unhinged now that I don't have notes I need to read. Okay. This does sound a lot like the Roxette intro, I will say.
It's like definitely filmed on like a camp song, like a kids bop amp in the beginning.
Anytime I need to see a face, it just close my eyes. And I am taken to a pursuit of crystal mind. A magenta feeling, take a chapter in the face of my spine. Straight like a chicken cherry cola.
That intro symbol, oh my God. Is that what
the
that
symbol?
Is? Or is it a sheep shearer, whatever it is. That sound, it's like an absolute dinner's ready, turkey's done type thing. Can you play it again?
Where are you talking about before you start singing?
Where it's like, oh, this is gonna, it's like, it's, it sounds like someone being brought back to life. Yeah, before he starts singing. Yeah. I love that.
To me, that sounds like a reversed cymbal.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
I bet that's what it is. That is such a big drop for us to just get into this, like, I don't know. This is a mood that I can't quite describe. I think he does, maybe he's describing it when he says the magenta feelings take up shelter in the base of my spine, because that's kind of how I feel when I listen to this song.
The magenta feelings?
Yeah, so what he actually said, which, again, this is a revelatory episode. I've never understood a single word to this song.
Yeah.
Anytime I need to see your face,
I
just close my eyes and I'm taken to a place where your crystal mind and magenta feelings take up shelter in the base of my spine, sweet like a chicka cherry cola.
I thought that he was saying where your prayers don't mind.
Okay, extrapolate on that. What's that mean?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I just accepted it as gospel, you know? It's like, oh, I thought it was like a sinful thing, you know? I was like, it's like I close my eyes and I see you, and like, you know, there's no space for a religion where in the way that I see you, because it's so filthy.
To me, this sounds like this might have played over the end credits of like a very feel good grungy high school movie from the 90s. Like, if 10 Things I Hate About You was, like, slightly cornier, this would have been, like, the perfect end credits song.
I think they need to be in their 40s.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, this would have had to have happened in the 90s. It could have been, like, the 90s answer to the Breakfast Club outro. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I feel in my bones that was a missed opportunity. But, hey, maybe it's a period piece. Mm-hmm. I'm doing great.
I think I read online that it was a period piece.
I didn't even try to explain, I just hold on tight. And if it happens again, I'ma move so slightly to the arms and the lips and the face of the human kind of all that I need to, I want to.
That, I need to, I want to. That also, that drum beat is definitely, that's quite simply a man playing racquetball.
Or
that's
it's a man my dad.
Squash. That's your dad playing with his accountant in a squash court.
No, my dad, never mind. I almost just said the name of the man my dad plays racquetball with as if that was like a known
leak
reference.
Leak it.
Okay, Marissa, bleep this. It's my dad and
So Savage Garden's like, hi, yeah, hey, mind dad, you mind cooling it with the squash? We're trying to make an Australian hit record.
It does. I feel so deceived they don't sing. He doesn't sing with an accent. I really expected, when I found out they were Australian, I felt betrayed.
Okay, so opposite for me, because there's just such this, like, there's such an Australian horny chug to it, you know? Like,
Australian Horny Chug, by the way, is my dancing name.
Well, it's also a really rare fish that I stole and my dad made me steal once from an aquarium in Toronto to get him out of the...
It's a reverse Finding Nemo.
Yes.
It's Finding Nemo from the human's perspective.
Yeah, the real hero, the fish thief.
I need to say what he said because I couldn't, without reading, understand a single word. Other than
I
need say, to.
Because I couldn't in good faith not. Okay, yes. Okay.
I don't even try to explain. I just hold on tight. And if it happens again, I might move so slightly to the arms and the lips and the face of the human cannonball that I need to, I want to.
So he never really finishes, and that's not really a complete thought.
You think he's getting to the point that he never gets to.
Right, he keeps abandoning his message.
He sounds like me when I smoke one hit of a joint.
It's like morning pages, what he's doing. These are just, he's just doing his morning pages.
No, but I want to really draw attention here. I might
You know,
move.
My friend Brian called me, he was like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing the artist's way during the quarantine. And I was like, sorry, the call dropped, man. We can't. We're 33, man. We're not doing the artist's way, okay? We're not doing morning pages.
I'm with Brian, frankly. You're the only one on the other side of this issue.
I think it's great if you do it in your 20s, but it's a young man's game.
Quick question. Are you simply just eating ice on air?
No, I got mutton meal, okay? I got... Yeah. I'm eating different varieties of water. I'm going to begin this with ice, and then I'm going to go to water, and then fog, and then eventually, when I'm my most powerful, steam. Without steam, I'm 1 foot five. And then when I get the steam, I'm like Terry Gross, but then I get the steam. Oh my God.
Back in
you're
my
not
day,
gonna believe
we called steam flavorless banaca.
Well, if you love banaca, no. Then you're going to love prima nocca.
Stop, we're not doing this.
Here we are.
I need to draw attention to the arms and the lips and the face of the human cannonball. I think that we all take away the Chicky Cherry Cola line, but that has to be the most iconic lyric in all of history.
Yeah, that's really good.
I might move so slightly to the arms and the lips and the face of the human cannonball. What?
Yeah, it's like
human cannonball.
I imagine him with like a very quick diagram of the human body, and he's like, he's just whipping like a pointer at it and without looking. And then someone's doing that and he has to say what part it is. And that's why. That's
the arms,
how this,
the lips, the face.
The trapezius.
The human cannonball.
What is that even? I guess it's more of a feeling. Who cares what it means, I guess,
this
right?
Whole song is mood.
Mm-hmm.
Come stand a little bit closer. Breathe in and get a bit higher. You'll never know what hit you.
Mistake, Chris. We can't do this song when we're self-isolating. It's so horny.
I just spun my computer chair into traffic is what I was just doing.
In a horny fury. It's too horny.
Yeah, I had a Sibian on my computer chair and I was spinning around in it like a dreidel and I wrote it.
You wrote it all the way to the 405? Where'd you go?
Screaming down the 134. Yeah. I wonder if maybe... my sexual awakening coincided with the song. Did
at
I ever
10,
tell you,
Chris, 10 years old?
Let me preface this. My first sexual dream, right? When I was.
You mean
was
a wet dream?
Young.
Can we call it what it is? A wet dream? Is that what you're talking about?
I wanted to respect your. I was going to say users, but listeners, okay? I want to respect all your listeners and not call it that, but yeah, okay. But it wasn't. It was pre, I think, a whatever. My first.
A soggy
but yeah,
dream.
Was, right. So it's this, and I remember telling my parents about this.
No.
And they were like, you cannot tell
us
anybody. Anybody. And it was just a lagoon, right? It was a placid lagoon for about 11, 12 minutes. And then right in the middle, my head just rises out of the water, face to camera, and boom, happened right there.
I'm sorry. Are you talking about a dream?
Mm-hmm.
You're having a wet dream in which you emerge from a lagoon and you come to yourself. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
did you volunteer this story on here?
I can't really express to you that it was a lagoon totally still for 11 minutes.
So your dream was like a French cinema, and then...
and then I come out. I can't express to you how smoothly I rise out of the water. Smack right in the center of the frame. Looking to camera. Boom.
And when you say to camera, you mean like you're looking at yourself in your dream.
That's correct, Mio.
Okay. Wow. And so just really quick. Mm-hmm. The tie-in to Savage Garden here was what exactly?
Oh, well, this was around the same time that this all took place.
So you're just world building?
Yeah. I guess.
Oh, my God. My body, I wasn't ready for that story. Okay, wow. I can't believe this is now your second appearance on this podcast, the second time I am feeling truly bereft from a story you're telling.
Truly bankrupt.
I need to go to a break right now. I can't. Right, I need a break. I'm sorry.
I don't believe in off-air, on-air. Meow, it's 2020.
Oh, I'm glad you said that because we're back on air.
I'm the kind of person who endorses a deep commitment. Getting comfy, getting perfect is what I live for. Put a look and then I smell a perfume. It's like I'm down on the floor and I don't know what I'm in for.
Okay, this line, I love this part. Do you know what he said?
No, ma'am.
I think you're going to love this too if I know anything about you. I'm the kind of person who endorses a deep commitment.
Whoa, I did not know that he was saying that.
Yep, I'm the kind of person who endorses a deep commitment. Getting comfy, getting perfect is what I live for.
That is, wait, he endorses a deep, so that's passive voice. He's saying he wants other people to be committed, right?
Mm-hmm. But then a look and then a smell of perfume. It's like I'm down on the floor and I don't know what I'm in for.
Oh, I thought it was, I don't know what I meant for. Oh, okay. I thought it was more existential.
I mean, to be fair, it could be. I got these lyrics from Genius, and Genius usually is wrong.
You got these lyrics from hamsterdance.net.
It's still up. Can you believe that?
Is it really?
No, I don't know. And also, like, I want to give him some credit, too, for, like, the way he's throwing the rhythm around.
Yeah.
It's really hard to replicate. Like, if you tried to do this at karaoke, it would take quite a lot of listening to the original track because it's not intuitive.
Right. And it's a lot of... You got to be, like, really fucking calm.
Right,
it's
but
like
then the last line, and I don't know what I'm in... Like, he... Listen. Don't know what I'm in for.
It's
the
sexy.
Way he like I know, that's what I'm saying. This was a mistake to do this song. It's way too horny.
Conversation is a time I'm praising the interaction of a lover and a mick at the time I'm talking. Using symbols, using what can be like into a deep sea diver who was swimming with the raincoat.
Who was swimming with the raincoat?
There are so many gems in these lyrics. I can't believe how many they wrote. This is like a fucking dissertation, this song.
When does he say, doesn't he have a line in there where he goes, getting coffee is what I live for? Doesn't he say that at one point?
You're thinking getting comfy, getting perfect is what I live for.
I always heard that as getting coffee is what I live for.
No, but you're missing the getting perfect part of that sentence. I'd be like, getting coffee with creamer is what I live for. Getting coffee on the corner is what I live for. Maybe. But no, what he said just now, conversation has a time and place in the interaction of a lover and a mate.
Ooh.
But the time of talking, using symbols, using words, can be likened to a deep sea diver who is swimming with a raincoat.
It's not enough. The raincoat's not enough if you're deep sea diving.
I think what he's saying is you can keep talking all you want, but eventually you get to a point where, baby, you're in it. Uh-huh. You're drowning in it. You can wear the raincoat, but it is merely a nod to what you could be preventing when you're already deep in the quicksand. This is such a mixed metaphor. My brain is bad. My brain is bad.
Oh, ma'am. Mel, you know what? You know what you thought the ice was? It was the passion fruit bits.
Chris, you say this as if everyone just knows inherently that you're obsessed with boba. Do you know how strange it is to say as a non-boba person, oh, you know what it was? It was the passion fruit bits. Who are you, Chris? What?
Hey, guys, she's shaming me. I'm heading out. But if you guys want to take over, the boys in blue are going to take over, okay?
Bye. Come stand a little bit closer. Breathe in and get a bit higher.
Yeah, yeah, that's those are the duck. Those are the duck triplets. That's Huey, Louie, and Gooey. Yeah, it's Gooey, Gooey, and Gooey. The duck triplets.
And then, like, the only harmony in the song, I get to you.
Oh, I love that part.
Would hit you when I get.
Wait, do you hear the when comes in? They say when.
Would hit you when I.
Ooh, and they precede the when.
No, would hit you when I get to you.
That's exciting.
Wait, wait, what's the lyric? I thought it was an I can't tell you.
No, no. Oh, you'll never know what hit you when I get to you.
Oh, God, you are destroying my mind.
Come stand a little bit closer, breathe in, and get a bit higher. You'll never know what hit you when I get to you.
I love that. I love that harmony. Talk about boarding early, you know?
Who was talking about that? What if I just totally turned on you halfway through? Who was talking about that, Chris?
You know, if you're a member of JetBlue Mosaic, you get to board a day early. Did you hear about this?
This is all the same. I just wanted to listen to it again.
I'm dying to find out. Is that when he comes in later? When he's like, soup, it's like really high? Is that about to happen?
I'm so excited you brought that up. No, this is where the song. So far it's been like a pretty straightforward, really horny pop song with like a lot of kind of dated 90s production that to me is really working.
Mm-hmm.
Now we throw to, I don't know, I thought this was a bridge, but then the song. Anyway, listen, we're going to have to discuss the structure for the rest of the song because okay. This doesn't make any sense to me. And then right back to the song.
That's Grimes. That's Grimes in a 365 right there. Trying to, and it kind of cracks. She's like trying to lift the bulk oats right there over her shoulder. I love that.
I really thought that was the bridge, but unfortunately, there's a second section that's really made me question everything I've ever known.
Okay.
I also have a lot of issue with that they're going to come right back into effectively verse one. Same lyrics, everything, which is going to go straight into a third chorus, but now they've taken out the pre-chorus.
Oh, wow. Okay, you've really...
This is what I'm saying. The structure of this song is very confusing to me from henceforth.
You've really dissected this trilobite. Okay.
I'm taken to a place where your crystal mind and magenta feeling take up shelter in the face of my spine, shed like a chicken cherry cola.
We also comment on that. Do you hear that? That is, this is, sorry, this is a deep cut.
Yep.
This is the Zorro domain in Ocarina of Time.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Absolutely. Right here. Like, I'm in Jabu Jabu's belly when that comes in.
I don't need to try to explain that it's old, I'm tired, and if it happens again, I'm gonna move so silently to the arms.
There it is again. You hear this? It's like,
yeah, that's a little more water temple, actually, I think.
I can't believe how, no, this is fully Zora domain when I'm looking to talk to King Zora.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He's so puffy.
And I'm trying to find his daughter. Quick sidebar. I think it's been way too long since I talked about hot animated characters / maybe animals on this podcast. And I have been thinking about this a lot lately. One of my coping strategies has been listening to video game music a lot. I don't know why it soothes me.
It's very soothing, yeah.
And I was listening to Prince Sidon's theme. Did you play Breath of the Wild at all?
No, ma'am.
Okay. The soundtrack to Breath of the Wild. Oh, boy.
Don't you have to, like, monitor, like, his blood sugar and stuff in that or something?
Yeah. You have to, like, be fucking Allison Roman. It sucks. But other than that, the game is perfect. And
you
Prince
guys take
Sidon,
him to urgent care some nights? Okay, yeah.
Prince Sidon is a Zora creature. I don't know. I'm not really clear on the, like, he has a fin head. I don't know how to explain this. He's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
He's so hot. I need to actually text you a picture so you know what I'm talking about. Because I don't
Wait,
think...
Wait, let me
I'm
unblock
not,
your let me unblock your number real quick.
I don't think the Prince Sidon rhetoric existed nearly long enough for my taste. Anyways. I truthfully have nothing to say about that. It was the same. It was all the same. I mean, I still like it, but it was all the same.
I love it.
Curious that they did remove the pre-chorus that time. It makes me feel like they should have always removed the pre-chorus, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, our penultimate clip, we arrive at what I believe to be the high art part of the song. Bass!
Hey, do you mind if my uncle break dances real quick? Okay, cool. That's
so
enough.
So they're like, what if we really quick threw the house party from Mrs. Doubtfire in the middle of this horny pop song?
Yeah. Hey guys, a buddy of mine is trying to be a DJ for a middle school. Would you mind if he played his mixtape for like 3 seconds in the middle
of
our
hit? It's
like
the producer was like, hey, we can't fully just be like a moody love pop tune. We need to be able to touch every 90s cliche of genres right now. So
right.
We got to do some nod to like the most generic hip hop sound.
Yeah, we need the listener to put their hand around their head and then smash it into their knee, their opposite knee.
Oh, what was that move called? I love the chicken wing. What was that? I loved that. That was so iconic. God, you remember going to the gymnasium to learn the Macarena?
I think it was called the Kansas City Rotisserie is what it was called.
But then that's not enough for them. They're like, okay, we hit that. All right, fellas, we need one more genre to hit. But where would it go? How about immediately after the other one?
Yes. Now a brief word from the lady in the water.
Now we're going to get hexed at a chiropractor's office. I don't know what that is.
Well, now we're going to get Ron Howard's daughter in an above grounder doing an incantation.
I really think that is like a massage, but the person didn't go to massage school and you're just in their house.
Did I ever tell you about my concept for ska massage?
No, what is that?
So it's like when you're in like everything's the same except for playing, it's like the same exact atmosphere, but instead of like playing very peaceful ambient music, they're just blasting ska. It's a ska massage.
Have you considered changing careers? I think you'd be good at that. In fact, now that you mention it, I've never quite been able to place your aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And suddenly now hearing you say ska massage, I'm realizing, yep, that's what it's always been. It's ska massage.
Thank you. When's Rob Moose going to come in and say, and he's, what's actually...
We have one clip left and we get to poor, poor Rob.
What makes this song absolutely undeniable to drive drunk to is it goes from a minor 11th to a Gregorian 1th, which in a lot of Australians recreates the sensation of wetting the bed. Now, the timbre of this makes it an absolute siren song for driving your Nissan after 3 or more mojitas at your local watering hole. And you just like give them a can of chickpeas to do that once a week.
I keep telling him, hey, Rob, if at any point you realize you've made a huge mistake, you can tell me and I won't be upset.
So you're just giving him brain damage. I mean, what you're doing is catalyzing his long road to the middle is what you're doing.
I'm really hurting my dear, dear friend, Rob Moose, every time I make him do this. And frankly, myself, my brain, these are diminishing returns. I'm running on fumes. This isn't good. This is your podcast now, Chris.
I know. He speaks so highly of what you do, though. He'll be like, this song disrespects the circle of fifths in a way that hurts me and my family.
What are they saying? Hey. I really feel like I'm being cursed in a Buddha bar.
Hop she up and hop she up and hop she up.
That was threatening. That was so threatening.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the bass every time. Who do you think you are? Fucking, you can call me Al. And now here comes the screaming part you like.
Oh, good.
Wow.
I would love to revisit for a second that last background vocal cry he did. What do you think's happening to his body?
He's getting wedged between two soft chairs is what's happening.
I need to get out.
Okay. Actually, that is, now that you mention it, the exact noise my brother made when squeaking across a very narrow pathway on the short end of a pool while holding on to a wrought iron chair as a young child.
I need to get out.
No, and then you know what happened? He lost his balance, fell backwards into the pool, and pulled the wrought iron chair down on top of himself, pinning him to the bottom of the pool.
What are you telling us? A horrifying, something that must be very traumatic.
No. In fact, what I remember most notably is my mom was on the phone when this happened, and I watched it happen. I was like, Mom! And then I remember she had the wherewithal to say, can you hold on a second and put the phone down before she jumped in the pool and got him out.
Oh my God, she like dove in clothes on?
Yeah, of course she did. Her little boy just like is like literally pinned to the bottom of the pool, and exactly, he did this. It just all coming back to me now.
I need to find out.
And yeah, just bulp, splash, he's in the pool. Okay, finally, right. We've arrived at the end. Finally, I don't have to take any more of your passion fruit sucking. I can listen to Rob tell me something I desperately want to know and would never have thought of otherwise.
As usual, I'm fascinated by an arcane detail, which is what I'll call the pre-intro to this song. There's a faint drum machine pulsing away and then a keyboard playing through a delay pedal. At first, I thought the band was merely trying to do something clever by playing with volume and texture contrasts, pulling in the listener before the cliched reverse cymbal swell leads us into the actual start of the song, when guitar, bass, and drums land. It might seem aimless, but it's actually quite effective, and I was struck by an odd detail of it, which I have to share with you. The part doesn't start on the downbeat. In fact, after repeated listens, I can proudly tell you that the entire song starts on the 2nd 16th note of beat 2.
1, 2, 3, 4.
If you divide the measure into 16 pulses, for some reason the band has decided to omit the first 5 of them. Not only does this scramble the brain of your resident music theorist, it also results in 3 phrases instead of the predictable 4 from the drum machine before the keyboard enters. So disorienting. Continuing with that theme, the keyboard plays on the offbeats. So by the time the song starts, the band has subtly played with our sense of orientation to the point that we're grateful for a clear downbeat. Why does all this matter? Because I think the song thrives on dislocation, whether it's our near inability to comprehend the words in the verse, or a mild puzzlement at the deployment of a 3-bar quasi-bridge after the 2nd chorus. This song often attempts to shroud conventional forms and contents in a subversive mist. The writer said in an interview that their initial idea was to use the voice as a rhythm instrument. He sings a never-ending sequence of syllables hitting nearly every micro beat available. The focus is so solely on rhythm that he doesn't even bother to create a melody for this section of the song at all, instead just singing a G over and over. Anytime I need to see a face, I just close my eyes. It's kind of like an easy listening Walk This Way, or the world's most emo hip-hop delivery. But again, to bring it back to dislocation, by the time we reach the miniature pre-chorus, our ears are primed to receive any change in pitch as a major event. Not only does this help build anticipation, but it allows a very middling chorus melody to feel like a divine anthem.
Holy shit, that rhythm thing! The coming in on the sec... How the fuck did he hear that?
I know.
I'm so...
Also, just the for me, the difference in tone after talking with you and then hearing him. It's like going from like something like piping hot to something like, I feel like I need Sensodyne right now is what I need.
It's an ice bath. Rob is an ice bath, yeah. After I just scalded you.
It's the other way around, actually.
I'm an ice bath and he scalded you.
I don't know what it is, but yeah, that I love.
I didn't notice until he pointed it out that the verses are one single note.
Yeah, nor did I.
There's no melody. It's a mono. I mean, the whole time it was there, we were just like, well, this song's horny. Like, I think it is. I mean, listen, hate to
it's,
say it, love to say
we're,
it.
We're it's, local simpletons.
Well, it's fully edging. Like, the song was absolutely edging us, and that's why the chorus hits so hard. And it wasn't until Rob broke down the musical analysis that I was able to recognize that. I'm so grateful.
If you just make life bad enough for a while and then show some release, a respite from how bad you've made it, you can have a hit. You can have a hit.
Yeah, I 100% think that's true.
That's kind of interesting.
Oh, no. Is this how you become a hit songwriter?
Become a hit songwriter? Wow.
Oh, right. Sorry, wow. Sorry.
Do you guys want to take over the call? This is getting too disrespectful. Thanks.
Okay. With that said, Christopher, if that is your real name.
It is.
It just is. How does one improve this song?
We have to come up with it now? I mean, I'm going to probably, can't we just talk about this later? Like, okay.
Okay, sure. You want to be a surprise what we do to it? No problem. This is just part of the show's conceit. But like, we can just lay it in and have it be a shock. Let's do that.
Okay.
Are you helping me? Are you helping me with this? Are you doing this? Do we have a plan here?
Yeah.
Oh, just absolutely. Yes to both.
Yeah, we have a plan and I'm going to help you with it. Yeah.
Oh, those are the magic words. We have a plan and I'm going to help you with it.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere.
I want you, but get this, you guys. Chris and I we unearthed an early version where they focused more on the best part of the song, the Chicky Cherry Cola, among other things.
W root beer on my mind, so is Barks. No one's ever sought out Sprite in their lives, but if it's offered, you'll accept, cause fuck it, why not? It's like when Sting comes on the radio. Orangina is by the 1% for the 1% voluptuous bottle filled with marmalade. Every bottle you buy, a free one's given to a third world dictator, like a reverse Tom Shoes. Come drink a little bit closer, slurp up and sip a bit harder. It's a Mountain Dew Code Red. Do I want juice? I don't know if I need fruit, but give me some sparkling brown. Do I want juice? I don't know if I need fruit, but give me some sparkling brown.
Take me to Bubbly Town. I want to go to Bubbly Town right now.
Mountain Dew is doing just fine till 7 Up or some other knockoff dipshit launch a smear campaign where they somehow convinced every middle schooler that it lowered your sperm count. How does that shit even start? Like, how did every kindergartner know that if they did that motion to trucks, it would make them honk their horns and make a 5-year-old feel like God? Canada Dry is so boring. The Antiques Roadshow of sodas. Don't come near me with that. I'd rather drink nothing. I want juice, I don't know if I need fruit, but give me some sparkling brown.
Some sparkling brown.
Do I want juice, I don't know if I need fruit, but give me some sparkling brown.
Take me to Bubbly Town.
San Pellegrino and Coke Zero.
Lest we forget, there is also a soda named Squirt. How did this happen and how have they shown no remorse? Can someone tell them what it means? Because I'm tired of laughing at family parties. I've never had Fresca because I'm not a pervert who plays French horn. I believe if you buy Moxie or Tab that it should make you a top suspect for any cold case in your region.
Do I want juice? I don't know if I need fruit, but give me some sparkling brown.
Some sparkling brown.
Do I want juice? I don't know if I need fruit, but give me some sparkling brown.
This is what it feels like to drink Dr. Pepper.
it's Dallas Howard, and you're watching Lady in the Water. Starring me, the Lady in the Water. My dad is Ron Howard. I don't do my own stunts, but I do do my own siren songs.
Do I want juice? I don't know if I need fruit, but give me some sparkling brown.
Some sparkling brown.
Do I want juice? I don't know if I need fruit, but give me some sparkling brown.
Take me to Bubbly Town.
Wow, I feel sick listening to that.
Thank you so much. We have to get to Unpunchable Jams.
You can't punch this.
Chris, what is your Unpunchable Jam?
It's called Hey Rusty by Lloyd Cole and the Commotions.
Hey Rusty, don't hide.
It's sensational. It brought me a lot of peace at a time when I was essentially evicted from my old house because my landlord decided to destroy the bathroom, and it took, it was supposed to take 4 days, but it took a month. And so I discovered this, Spotify kind of, you know, gifted me this song on like night six when I was like really going through it, and I was like kind of living like a coyote.
What do you like about the song?
Oh, so it's like, okay, it just keeps building. Like, so it starts off kind of sparse, and then there's like some kind of either rhythmic or arpeggiated guitar, and like they keep adding, you know, different seasonings to the frickin' shakshuka until the end when you're just like absolutely, absolutely flooring it.
So again, you like these edging songs. That's the theme.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It all comes back to your wet dream, I feel like.
The lagoon. All roads
you
lead
wanna
to the
watch
lagoon.
The lagoon. You want to watch the lagoon for 12 minutes before you come out of it.
Correct. What's your?
I'm excited to listen to it.
What's your Unpunchable Jam?
Oh wow! Look at him. True co-host energy. Thank you. My Unpunchable Jam.
Bon appetit.
Speaking of bone apple tea, I wanted to give everyone a song to bake to. Because everyone's getting so into baking right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't talk about this much publicly, but I am a trained pastry chef.
Here
I used to bake
works.
Full time. That was my whole life for a long time. And so I know the importance of good baking music. It makes such a world of difference. And maybe this isn't everyone's cup of tea, but for me, nothing beats Django Reinhardt specifically. Are you ready for this?
Slayer Raining Blood? Okay, sorry, go on.
I'll see you in my dreams. There's something about baking that feels so wholesome in a way that
yeah, I want to grind with Edith Piaf right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, doesn't that make you want to like bake a loaf of bread and like set out some fresh flowers? Just feels really good. I feel like that's really helpful. And frankly, like you could put on a Django Reinhardt like playlist or Django, however you say his name, and just let it ride. I think you can't go wrong. It's such good baking music.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to come back next week and continue doing this?
Whoa. Wow. Yeah, it depends on what it is next week, but yeah.
Ooh, hey, wait, maybe I should choose a song.
I love that idea. Yeah.
Wait, maybe I get to choose a song finally if I'm going to have the same guest for a while. Oh my God, that's such an exciting idea.
That's perfect. That's so perfect. Yeah.
Yay! Okay, is there anything you want to promote? What should people check out?
I want to promote the iPhone 11 Pro. The iPhone 11 Pro is what I want to promote. No, I don't want to promote anything, Mio.
I'll promote you. Check Chris out online. If you're looking for something to do right now, he has a lot of videos you can watch, and they are even, dare I say, funnier than this podcast appearance. Is it possible? Jury's still out. As for me, you could check out the Patreon at Punch of the Jam or me at Yell. Otherwise, any final words, Chris?
I want to applaud you and me. for what we've done today, and also most notably for us both resisting the urge to go live on Instagram during this pandemic. And I believe that the dignity, the nobility that we have shown for not going live, I believe we will be rewarded handsomely in the afterlife, in the divine. We will be given the finest cloths, the finest figs. I think, and even before the afterlife, I do have a theory that after all this, those who did not go live on Instagram will probably get something like unlimited lifts from the government. We will get unlimited Uber pools or something. There will be some incredible reward for us, some bounty. So I want to applaud you, Miel, and me as well. Good night. Thank you.
Okay, that was
Punch
of the Jam.
Punch
of the Jam.
Hey!
Punch of the Jam.
Punch
of the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.